A blog, TomDelay.com. After 75 minutes, he shut down his blog.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
But during the 75 minutes when his blog was wide open, here are the first responses. It's good that you're no longer a representative. The stench of the 109th Congress will take a long time to fix. The next one says, didn't we already stick a fork in your butt and decide you're done? These are the nice ones.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush plans to make the U.S. military larger for the long term. He was interviewed by the Washington Post.
I'm inclined to believe that we do need to increase our troops, the Army and the Marines.
I'm Mark Noller, live at the White House. The assertion by President Bush on the Washington Post website comes in the wake of growing expressions of concern that the U.S. military is stretched too thin. In fact, the U.S. Army Chief of Staff told Congress last week that his service will break under the strain of Iraq and other obligations. Mr. Bush says that he's asked his new Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, to come up with a plan to expand the Army and Marines, but he has not yet decided whether to increase the number of American troops in Iraq. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
On Mount Hood, the search for two missing climbers is running out of time, and photographs discovered in Kelly James' camera indicate supplies and equipment are problematic.
After, you know, developing those pictures, looking what they had with them, I'm pretty concerned about how long somebody can last out there.
CBS's Stephen Kaufman.
All ground searchers are on standby, and military volunteers have been sent home. Only small fixed-wing aircraft are involved in the search for two missing climbers. Hood River County Sheriff Joe Wampler says the search effort is winding down because he's focusing on a small rugged section of ridge and glacier on Mount Hood's north side. Wampler wants to quickly organize an avalanche team to sweep the glacier using long poles before an expected snowstorm arrives tomorrow.
The Space Shuttle Discovery's crew's thoughts have got to be turning toward home. CBS's Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center.
Well, just under an hour ago,
Houston copy physical separation.
Alpha copy.
Discovery began the trip back, undocking from the International Space Station.
Discovery departing.
After a week together, the station and shuttle commanders both praised their joint crew efforts to rewire and repair the station. Discovery's Mark Polansky.
It's always a goal to try and leave someplace in a better shape than it was when you came, and I think we've accomplished that.
Shuttle is due back here Friday, live at the Kennedy Space Center. Peter King, CBS News.
Miss USA has had her slender wrist slapped over the parties, the alcohol, cocaine, and scandalous kissing with Miss Teen USA. Donald Trump could have told her she's fired.
She's a good person. If she weren't a good person, I wouldn't have done this.
A plan on walking out of this, the best Miss USA that you've ever seen.
Tara Conner goes to rehab, then onto her reign as Miss USA. Bad weather returns probably tomorrow, as you've heard, to curtail the search for missing climbers on Mount Hood. The chill has reached even Southern California, where sweaters and scarves and jackets are out. There's ice on highways in West and Central Texas. Winter's knocking on the door. West Yellowstone, Montana hit 24 below zero overnight. On the other hand, today's high in Boca Raton was 84 degrees. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 30 points today. It's a new record. The Nasdaq lost 6. This is CBS News.
With less than a week before Christmas, you'll find perfect gifts for everyone at Kohl's 2-Day Christmas Countdown Sale. This Tuesday and Wednesday, check off every gift left on your list and take home great finds like Fisher-Price and Little Tykes toys at 50% off, fine jewelry at 60% off, and we even have a 7-inch portable DVD player for just $79.99. Who wouldn't love that? Don't miss out on great gifts at great prices at Kohl's 2-Day Christmas Countdown Sale this Tuesday and Wednesday. Holiday hours are 7 a.m. to midnight at Kohl's. Expect great things.
Honey, I'm not the best gift giver. Remember the Potholder of the Month Club? Not one of my finer moments. That's why I'm picking up Radio Shack gift cards for everyone. So if the kids want MP3 players or RC cars, they're set. Or for you, an LCD TV, digital camera, a wireless phone, it's whatever you want. So now I'll get credit for a great gift, and you don't have to return another candy cane sweater.
The perfect holiday gift, the Radio Shack gift card. Only at Radio Shack. Radio Shack gift cards cannot be redeemed for services.
Another warning from the government against mixing your painkillers in ways the drug companies don't already.
If you use common painkillers like aspirin, ibuprofen, or acetaminophen, federal officials want you to see a tougher warning label about potential problems. The proposed FDA rule would highlight the potential for liver damage for acetaminophen taken in high doses and would require the other painkillers to highlight, among other things, the potential for stomach bleeding in persons over age 60. These ingredients are in hundreds of pain, headache, and fever products. Officials want people to be sure they don't combine them and inadvertently overdose.
CBS's John Harchie is in Washington. The skirl of bagpipes fills the air, and men in kilts march in step, no matter what the weather, at military funerals and other ceremonies. Now there's a shortage in Scotland of kilts. 5,000 soldiers have 320 kilts among them, meaning about 15 men share the same kilt these days. Ministry of Defense says the supply shortage should be rectified by January of 08. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I'm cruising in my ride, 16 switches. Gotta get my floss on, watch out.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. They named it after me. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We are live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate in San Francisco, the home of those dreaded San Francisco values. Got a great show for you. 3 hours is never enough, but we do what we can with what we have. Coming up later this hour, Richard Rappaport will comment on the increase in the crime rate and the dramatic increase in bad crime cop television shows, including some of the ugly stuff on Dateline NBC, where they use entrapment to nail would-be pedophiles. Also on today's program, about an hour away, Professor Stephen Zunis. He's a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. He follows issues in the Middle East. We're going to talk to him about the continuing violence among Palestinians between Hamas and Fatah, America's support for Abbas, and whether that's the kiss of death, and whether Israeli Prime Minister Olmert is ready to release some prisoners. And if there's time, we'll talk about former President Jimmy Carter's new book. Also on today's program, media critic Norman Solomon checks in. His newest piece is entitled Powell, Baker, Hamilton, Thanks for Nothing. And in our third and final hour, per usual, we take your phone calls in the free speech zone. But you can call before then. Your free speech rights are in full effect during the entire Peter B. Collins Show. Call me toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Was that nice and slow for you? And you can email me 24/7, Peter at peterbcollins.com. I think that's enough preliminary activity. Returning to our program today, one of the co-founders of the Guerrilla News Network, Anthony LaPay. Hello, Anthony.
Peter, how's it going?
Haven't talked to you in a while. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
You guys are really busy. I can just tell by the website. I haven't talked to your mom or anything, but I just assume that the website is chock full of things, and that keeps you quite busy.
Yep, we've been real busy just kind of wrapping up the American Blackout National Tour, and we also launched this thing called Video the Vote, which I think you might have heard about.
Well, we did, and we talked to one of your colleagues about that.
Right, mm-hmm. Excellent. So we were real busy on Election Day, and now I'm working on this other project.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a moment. It's called Shooting War, and it's a graphic novel that's available online as you're, it looks like you're developing it chapter by chapter. But Anthony, first, I wanted to get some of your thoughts on the overview, the picture in Iraq now. You were there just a few years ago, and you produced a documentary which still is seared in my memory, and in particular, your focus on our use of depleted uranium and the radioactivity, the background radioactivity that it leaves in Iraq for generations, is something that is still seriously underreported in the United States.
It's incredible. You know, you were there for the world debut, actually, of the film, mm-hmm. the Mill Valley Film Festival. It's incredible that, in some ways it's understandable in the sense that things are just going so badly over there that things like long-term cancer risks, get put to the wayside. But I do find it unbelievable, especially because there has been new science coming out about the risks of depleted uranium. We see this guy getting poisoned by plutonium 101, which
yeah.
is definitely a much more highly radioactive alpha radiation emitter. But essentially, it works on the same principle. Just like depleted uranium, plutonium is an alpha emitter, which essentially means that it's a very weak form of radiation, which can be stopped with a piece of paper, but once you ingest it in your body,
mm-hmm.
It can really wreak havoc. And depleted uranium is, of course, much less radioactive, but it still causes really bad health problems. There's actually, I think, about four or five New York State National Guardsmen who believe that they mm-hmm. were exposed to depleted uranium are now suing the military. And actually, this is a huge case because their first preliminary hearing, a judge ruled that their case is going to be able to go through at least to the next level, which is a huge win because traditionally there is a law that says that you basically cannot, if you're a member of the armed services, you cannot sue the military for anything that happens to you,
mm-hmm.
literally, even if they give you a parachute that doesn't work and they push you out of a plane and you fall and you die, you can't sue. So the fact that a judge has allowed this case to move forward is a significant development in the case.
And I want to mention the film that we're talking about is Battleground, 21 Days on the Empire's Edge, and you can get it at GNN.TV. That's the website of the Guerrilla News Network, GNN.TV. And is this a download, or do you buy a DVD?
No, you can buy a DVD. It's also available at Blockbuster, Amazon, Netflix, Hollywood Video.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's Battleground, 21 Days on the Empire's Edge. There's a book with the same name. Now, Anthony, I want to turn next just to the current situation, the report today that violence has spiked even more than previously reported. One of the things the Baker-Hamilton Commission did report that was underreported by the media is that the Pentagon has been underreporting the extent of violence and casualties in Iraq. We got a clearer snapshot today, and in October and November, the number of attacks were up to 900 per week. And this is clearly a chaotic civil war, no matter what people want to euphemize it as. And now the president seems to be going forward with John McCain's theory, his idea of surging American forces. And it's just mind-boggling because every reputable, credible individual, from the generals on the ground to the conservatives who helped populate the Baker Commission, they all say this war cannot be won militarily. And what are we doing? We're going to try to throw more troops in there.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And we have the Democrats, so far, not standing up and confronting this. Harry Reid says, well, if it's temporary, I could go along with it.
Right. I mean, it is Vietnam. I mean, I'm too young to remember it, but it is. I studied it extensively. It is Vietnam all over again. I mean, it's the same exact thing that happened. You know, people came back, said the exact same thing. 1968, Walter Cronkite came back and said the war was unwinnable. And over the next 5 years, 25,000 something more Americans died, and
You're right.
Troops were sent.
Yeah.
It's eerie how history repeats itself, and it's also eerie how this report could come out, and 70% of the American people now support a new Wall Street Journal NBC poll says 70% support at least a limited pullout within 6 months, and now they're talking about sending more troops.
Yeah, and only 23%, I guess on a good day, 28% say they support Bush on this war.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Riot Giroir, actually one of the
he's been on our program.
Yeah, he has a great blog on Huffington Post today about the nature of just the true nature of the sectarian violence going on in Iraq today, and about how it's really a misnomer that to say that the political situation is totally stratified between Shia and Sunni. That there are Shia and Sunni political forces working together. They're just working together against the occupation, and the Americans are trying to create their own coalitions that are essentially pro-occupation and pro-puppet government, and those are the major forces at work, according to Giroir today, not necessarily a simple Shia versus Sunni factional conflict.
Well, Ra'ed has been on with us at least twice over the last couple of weeks. I'm very impressed with him, and he has very good sources, contacts inside the Iraqi parliament.
Yeah.
And he has predicted, Anthony, that this government may well fall even before Bush clears his first bit of brush in Crawford.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think I heard him talking about that as well, and I think he's probably right on. I remember him, he was the guy who we did the radiation test with in the battlefield of Iraq.
Oh, okay, I didn't make that connection.
Right, and I remember standing in the middle of a tank graveyard and he said to me, "The real war has not begun." And the real war, he said, was when this was in October 2003. The real war will start when the Shia rise up and when they become sick of this occupation. And then, of course, about 9 months later, they did, and he completely predicted it. So when that guy predicts something, I'd pay attention.
Yep. And if you haven't caught the name, it's Ra'ed Giroir, J-A-R-R-A-R. And I haven't seen the piece at Huffington Post, but I'll go take a look after the show. Anthony, we'll take a break and return. I want to talk about your new graphic novel, Shooting War, and how people can access that. And we've got at least one caller if anybody else wants to join us on the phone. Lines are open for you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, it's a replay of our show with Ronnie Bramer and Louis Basil on investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. We want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season, and remember to share good times with friends and family. We're getting ready for our biggest year in 2007 for real estate deals and information, so check us out right here Sunday morning at 10 and visit our website at rockrollinrealestate.com. For more information, you can always call us at 408-892-3376. And happy holidays from all of us here at Rock Rollin' Real Estate.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah.
Christmas is
it's fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No.
This is some politically infused world beat. Great music from Michael Franti and Spearhead. Give it to a progressive friend for Christmas. The CD's called Yell Fire.
It's time to go home.
We continue now with Anthony LaPay. He's one of the co-founders of the Guerrilla News Network. He's been to Iraq where he helped produce a very powerful documentary. And Anthony, lately you've been working on a graphic novel, and I've read a couple of the chapters that are available online at GNN.TV. And what is your concept here behind Shooting War?
Well, Shooting War came out of, to be perfectly honest, Peter, just becoming completely burnt out by journalism after doing it for about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the weight of the world on your shoulders type of feeling. I needed to do something to express my more creative side, just to get into, really also just being able to get into satire. You know, I think there's a reason why The Daily Show is the most watched news show among, 18 to 34-year-old males. It's because this world is so screwed up that the only way to really fully express what's going on is to try to capture the surreality of what's going on. So I came up with this idea of a satire, essentially, of the war on terror in the media called Shooting War. It's about a blogger named Jimmy Burns, who in the year 2011 is doing an anti-corporate video blog in front of his Williamsburg apartment when a suicide bomber blows up the Starbucks that's right below his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of becomes like this overnight media star, and he gets recruited by this sort of post-Fox News news network called Global News, which is all about sort of showing the war on terror in all of its glory, in their words. And he gets sent to Iraq where things are just going completely 10 times, 11 times worse than they are now. John McCain is president. He's actually tried to sort of pull back troops and bring in UN peacekeepers, but it hasn't really worked. And Jimmy Burns goes over there and tries to report on what's going on. So it's his story sort of getting caught in the middle of these huge forces and his story of trying to really step up and be a war correspondent in mm-hmm. the face of this, you know, tragic situation.
And war and satire are very difficult chemistry to work with, particularly when the war is underway. And I give you credit for taking this on. I'm thinking of two things. One is from the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan in the 1980s. The English punk band called The Stranglers mm-hmm. produced a series of B-sides about Vladimir and the Beast and Vladimir's other adventures. He was a Soviet soldier sent to Afghanistan. He fell in love with a camel and got hooked on opium.
And, I miss those, man. I love that. Sounds cool.
Well, check it out. If you buy the Stranglers box set, there are four or five of those in there, and it's an acquired taste, but I like it. And the other is Roy Zimmerman, who was on our show yesterday. He's a West Coast musical satire guy, and he has a song called "That Is the War on Terror." And Anthony, after the next break here, I'll get your address. I want to mail you a copy of this, because I think his music might either inspire you or might even work if you do an audio track with your graphic novel.
Cool.
So who's your target here? Who are you trying to reach with this approach?
Well, you know, graphic novels and comics are just this huge new market. It's actually a new thing for me. I never even really read comic books growing up as a kid, other than Tintin, who actually, you know, was a reporter.
Oh, I like Tintin.
Yeah, though you know, he never really was actually writing any stories. I never really understood that. But But a couple years ago, I read Joe Sacco's work. Have you ever read Joe Sacco?
No.
He is actually a reporter who writes these books in graphic novel, you know, comic book form. But right. It's all completely nonfiction, reportage. And he did a couple incredible books. One was based in Sarajevo. I think he did two from former Yugoslavia about the war there. And then he did one about Palestine. And it was just an incredible experience to read this book and read how he was able to tell these stories through these kind of funky comics. But they were super informative, and they were also just really entertaining to read. So what I'm trying to do with Shooting War, it's both, as I said, a satire, and, you know, it's essentially just in a comic book for adults, mm-hmm. but there's also a lot of commentary, essentially, of sort of predictions of where we're headed in the war on terror, what are the ramifications of what's happening today, also where the media is headed. For instance, Global News, as I said, is part of this is a sort of post-Fox News network.
Mm-hmm.
When George Bush kind of goes, and the neocons kind of go down in flames in 2008, Fox News tanks with them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and the new news network called Global News comes up, and their whole thing is showing sort of the unadulterated, they're sort of like the Al Jazeera of the American audience. So they're all about showing the hard reality of the war on terror. They're tagline is "Your home for 24-hour terror coverage," and they show, you know, sort of they show execution tapes and they show American military, you know, tapes of missiles blowing up houses, and they're all about kind of showing you the reality of what's going on. It's almost kind of Lou Dobbsian in their
Do they have an anchor named Rumsfeld?
No, they don't. Well, that's the thing. It's kind of it's interesting because they're not as Fox News as you think. In some ways, they're very much along the lines of Lou Dobbs, and that they are this kind of ultra-nationalist.
Anthony, let me park here and take a quick comment from Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, Tommy. As bad as people see this crime family that somehow finds themselves in a war and finds themselves in the White House, I see them worse. I see this a long-term plan. There was not one honorable reason for us being involved in the Middle East. It is all about shifting more and more wealth to the pockets of the very small cartel group there that is profiting immensely. I mean,
well, let me get a 10-second remark from Anthony. I'm sorry, we're short on time here. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you can't put it on the Bush family. The Bush family is just essentially a part of a larger political operation that's really been going on, as you said, since the end of the first World War.
Dave, thank you very much. And Anthony, thanks as always for your work. Have a great holiday. We'll talk to you next year. Go to GNN.TV.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
If you're looking for more commercials, you'll have to change the channel. I'm sorry. It's time for more of the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, we're going to talk about crime, crime in the city, and crime on your TV.
Showdown. He was sure he was right.
He had all of the lowdown from the bank heist last night. His best friend was a robber, and his wife was a thief. All the children were killers. They couldn't get no relief. The bungalow was surrounded, and a voice loud and clear said, come on out with your hands up, or we'll blow you out of here. There was a face in the window, the TV cameras rolled. Then they cut to the announcer, and the story was told.
That's a Neil Young song going back 8 or 10 years. And I wish we had time for the whole thing. It's 8.5 minutes long, and it's called Crime in the City 60-0. My favorite line is when the hostage says, just give me a cheeseburger. Well, there are amazing things going on. The crime rate is increasing somewhat. The violent crime rate has gone up a little bit, according to the new FBI statistics. But burglary has gone up sharply, and crime on television is, well, through the roof. If you watch TV, you come away thinking that there's far more crime and that you are personally more threatened than certainly is actually the case. Richard Rappaport is a journalist, a writer. He is a visiting scholar at the UC Berkeley Institute for Governmental Studies, and he sent me a recent commentary that he wrote, and it grabbed my attention because he names Chris Hansen in the very first line. We're going to talk about him and some of the other crime fighters on TV. Richard, how are you doing today?
Fine, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay. I only recently discovered Chris Hansen, and it's because MSNBC has replaced some of the political shows in the evening that I used to watch with these really gross crime and punishment documentaries. And some of it includes reruns from Dateline NBC, which is where Chris Hansen works. And I was stunned when I saw a recent episode where they essentially entrapped a group of people who wanted to be pedophiles but actually hadn't been able to pull it off. And these people were set up and entrapped by a primetime television magazine show.
Well, they're working in tandem with a couple of organizations that are, very, very tenuous. You know, I mean, you worry about... what is it called? Predators, Inc.?
Well, Perverted Justice is the one that works with Dateline.
Yeah. So, there were those of us who were brought up to believe that, entrapment was not a good thing. And all of a sudden it becomes kind of the television meme in a way. Chris Hansen is becoming a very popular broadcaster, and he's kind of like, the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I think... he's got it wrong. What it really means is that it's the Lord's, not his. Mm-hmm. Yet here he is acting on a show as sort of the eyes and ears of the police.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to separate the two when you see the show. Basically, what happens is he's, fundamentally, they have it both ways because it's hard to argue in favor of sexual predators, child molesters. I mean, as soon as, that gets said, you are on the wrong side of the argument. But the fact is, and in fact, a show like Cops, for example, sort of always opens up by using that line, I think, in a very sick sort of way, people in America, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well, this genre really strikes me as a series of morality plays, where the TV camera and the host become judge and jury, and they pass judgment on the schlubs who, are tricked into coming on camera. It amazes me that these people are willing to sign releases or accept a payment, whatever happens after the entrapment is caught on videotape. I mean, if it happened to me, I would never let it on television.
Well, I mean, I guess this is sort of part two of Andy Warhol's 15 Minutes of Fame. Now it doesn't matter what you're famous for, or if you're infamous, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
People have just come to believe that. And I think when I wrote this piece, the thing that troubles me most of all is that arrest and incarceration and being in trouble with the law is sort of the norm in America today. you know, last month the Justice Department had a report that said America now has the largest prison population and the highest rate of incarceration in the world, with, you know, like one in every 32 American adults either in jail or on probation or somehow involved. And, you know, I think my basic premise is that if you have a society where everybody's a criminal or everybody knows a criminal or everybody has the potential to go to jail, then you're living in a criminal society. And that's a very dangerous thing.
Well, the other thing for me is that this is entertainment being passed off as news, being passed off as entertainment. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know that we can compare it to the Coliseum with gladiators, but we are sitting around on our sofas, and these kinds of shows, like so many other of the recent genre of so-called reality programs, Richard, I think their primary purpose is to make whoever's watching it feel superior to the people they're watching.
You know, that wouldn't be such a bad thing if that was the case, in a way. But I think, you know, when you get to that lowest common denominator, I mean, when you look at the people who get swept up in a show like Cops, for example,
mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, what are they? They're poor, they're black, they're badly educated. You know, it's a tragedy. And so, you know, that these people become sort of the meat of our entertainment is a very, very sick thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Now, is America's Most Wanted where this all started, in your view?
Well, I think, you know, America's Most Wanted and Cops together sort of were on the air within a year of each other in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sort of, you know, twins on Fox TV. It's kind of like, let's Saturday night, when they both broadcast, is sort of like, let's stomp on civil liberties night. Because, you know, in the name of whatever you want, justice or entertainment, there seems to be a degrading of people's fundamental rights. And, I mean, I just, you know, I guess you could just ignore Cops, but just the way it sort of comes off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's taken down, they're tackled, they're cuffed.
Yeah.
You know, once upon a time, when I was growing up at least, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I just made this up in my head, but it seemed to me that there was a much lower level of amity between people and the police. The police were your friends, you know, they were there to take you home, you know, again, you know.
Yeah, and if you committed a crime, it's, I'm sorry, I've got to take you in. And now it's, I'm going to beat your head and jam you in the squad car while the cameras are rolling so we can take you in.
Really, and then sort of comment on it later as if it's just sort of normal behavior.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I am terrified that if this is what becomes normal behavior in America, then we, you know, what can you say but that we live in a police state?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I worry about that. And, of course, the other show, you know, that we talk about is SWAT. And, you know, the idea that towns of 1,000 people now have SWAT teams,
mm-hmm.
it stands for Special Weapons and Tactics. And in essence, what it is kind of a, you know, a war-fighting over, you know, what we used to take these weapons and these tactics and use them where we were fighting wars. And now we bring them back and we use them in the United States. And I think it's a very dangerous trend because, you know, you look, and I think, you know, the genesis of this story is the two shootings last month, you know,
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta and the one in New York City, where basically, you know, these two people, one an 88-year-old grandmother, the other a guy who was going to get married the next day, were just blown away by these squads, you know. And I think more and more that becomes the mean. If you have automatic weapons and
mm-hmm.
you have these tactics, you end up using them. And, you know, every encounter with a cop then becomes scary and dangerous.
Right.
And I think it not only erodes civil liberties, but I think it also sort of is more dangerous for the police themselves.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is there's no question in my mind, Richard, that they over-dramatize things when the cameras are rolling. And that's not good for anybody. It's not good for the cops. It's not good for the image of the criminal justice system. And it's not good for the expectation that it sets that, oh, well, sure, cops are allowed to operate with that way because these are bad people.
Well, that's right. And I mean, I think, you know, when what happens is that the extraordinary becomes the mean. And so all of a sudden, you know, you're pulled over for
a broken headlight and you're jammed up against the side of your car or you're cuffed.
Yeah, you look like Rodney King to me.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the flip side of that is everybody's a newsman today and everybody has their own little video camera. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go from cops, which is semi-stage, just to more and more ad hoc video of this stuff.
John Walsh on YouTube, I guess. That'll be the next development. Let's take a couple of callers. We have Josh on the line. Josh, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Richard Rappaport.
Well, Peter, I wanted to applaud your remark there about our entertainment being like the Roman Colosseum, a sort of entertainment that actually instantly makes you a worse person when you consume it.
Well, I understand your point. Thank you. What else did you want to add, Josh?
I just want to add that children watch television, too, and they learn even more than adults do. The point you made that if you watch violent television, you become more fearful and believe there's more violence in the world. Children watch television, too, and I guess I give equal blame to broadcasters and parents. When you put a show on like Cops, then you teach children this very dark and repressive idea of what police are. But also, parents let stuff into their homes. I'm a teacher. I recently asked a classroom of fifth graders what movies they'd watched recently, and almost all of them had seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, for example.
Really?
Yeah, an older
one. Mm-hmm.
Not the one that was out in theaters just then. And we know from research that...
A little louder, Josh, sorry.
We know from research that watching violent television in the 70s, like Starsky and Hutch, $6 Million Man,
mm-hmm.
Led to worse life outcomes in boys who were between first and third grades at that time. That was violent on television then.
Mm-hmm. Richard, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I think he's exactly right. I mean, I think children see this, and it sort of reinforces certain notions. And so ultra-violence, you know, what Anthony Burgess talked about in A Clockwork Orange, suddenly becomes sort of the acceptable mean. You don't talk something out with somebody, you start using your fists and your hands, and now, you know, I mean, there's such a proliferation of firearms that that's what happens next. I mean, one of the statistics I found doing this story is that over a two-year period in the mid to late 90s, the U.S. Department of Defense turned over something like 2 million weapons to America's police forces.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just talking about handguns or revolvers, we're talking about automatic weapons. And so, you know, you get this incremental rise in the ability to do violence. I mean, I wonder, you know, you have situations like, you know, these various schoolhouse shootings. I'm not sure life is that much different than it was when we were kids. When we were kids, carrying a knife was sort of the ultimate, maybe.
Mm-hmm. A switchblade, that was the scariest thing in my life.
Right, and that you know, that requires a certain amount of expertise and, you know, ability and to use that. And then you get a gun, and then you get an automatic weapon, and just the potential for violence is so much greater.
Yeah. Josh, I thank you for a thoughtful call today. Good to have you listening. Richard, we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. If you'd like to join our conversation about Cops on TV and the impact that it has, both on perceptions and on our criminal justice system, get on the line now. Give us a call during the break at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Yeah, this is how we do it. First, we set a trap, then we get these schlubs to come over after promising them things that aren't true. We shine a video camera on them and say, gotcha! That's what passes for coverage of criminal justice on TV these days. We're talking with Richard Rappaport, journalist and writer. He's written a piece called Dying and Living in Cops America. And we're talking about some of the recent police, what's the best way to describe it, Richard? The over response of some of these police departments in New York, Atlanta, and elsewhere. And we're also seeing this kind of voyeur vigilanteism. I'm not sure those really fit together, but those are the two elements that I see, that we get a kick out of watching these things unfold. There's often, you know, some sort of a sexual angle to it that amps things up just a little bit. And it all kind of reminds me of a really bad show. I'm not sure it's still on the air. It's called Cheaters. Have you ever seen that one, Richard?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, that's the one where they actually play private detective and follow somebody around to try to catch a wife or a husband with somebody else. You know, the only good news about that show is that I believe the host and the guy who started it was actually stabbed pretty badly in one of the encounters, which I happen to think was a good thing. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that show came on, it was on a Bay Area station right before Saturday Night Live or after it. I don't know. I caught it a couple of times by accident, and I was floored because, you know, again, they often find low-life individuals, and so you have a toothless girlfriend who is, going to get even with her unemployed boyfriend. And frankly, nobody comes out of it smelling very good. But the net effect is I don't feel very good watching it.
Well, once again, it sort of reduces the level of civility in society, and it just kind of chips away at, those things we hold in common, like, you know, the privacy and respecting people's rights.
And a presumption of innocence. That is always completely missing from these televised busts.
And, you know, that's why Chris Hansen, NBC reporter who's working with Perverted Justice, I mean, it's really ugly stuff because he is acting as judge, jury, and executioner.
Yep.
And, you know, if you watch the show, you see after he sort of walks out and reveals himself, you know, and it's not a 14-year-old girl, it's him. The way inevitably the people who are busted will sit down and talk to him. They won't ask, you know, are you a lawyer? Are you a cop? You know, who are you? Are you arresting me? It's just, this is an authority figure. Therefore, they feel compelled to answer his questions. And,
yeah.
I mean, that scares the hell out of me, because I thought one of the great things about America is that, you know, fundamentally you question authority.
Come on, Richard. He's tall. He's good-looking. He's blonde. He's judgmental. What's not to like?
Well, I tell you.
Self-righteous?
You know, the Aryan. I mean, just an awfully good Aryan. I just wish somebody would go for his throat on that show. I mean.
Oh. Mike from Eureka, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Peter. It's good talking to you.
Good. You're learning.
I don't understand. I think you're absolutely right that it's like the Colosseums. It's only taken our society, 220 years to get down to the base common denominator where our civilization is unraveling.
Well, maybe we're not at the base yet, though. That's the frightening part about it.
Well, no, but we're heading downhill rapidly. My friends and family think I'm insane. My daughter's 17, and she's still not allowed to watch Cops or anything like that, and she never has.
Good for you.
I don't care if she watches violent movies. I don't think that actually promotes violence, although it could be. But those shows are designed intentionally to desensitize the population against having their civil rights violated.
That's
sure. They are there to enable fascist behavior.
A police state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible. I don't care if my, daughter watches The Lord of the Rings. I don't think that that's going to make her go out and do anything bad. But these terrible shows, they've desensitized her against having her rights violated. The police used to protect and serve the public trust, and then they protected and served, and then it was canine unit step away. People need to teach their children to stand up for their rights. I had four gun cases full of weapons when I was, by the time I was 6 years old, in my bedroom. It never even crossed my mind to take a gun to school. I was a little run and got picked on all the time. But that just wasn't something that you did. You don't violate somebody else's civil liberties unless it's life or death. And that's the individual, the state, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all these shows are just turning the population into mindless zombies slash voyeurs to where...
It is predatory and pandering, and I think it's ultimately quite disgusting. Mike, thanks for your call, and I appreciate what you've done to protect your daughter. It's a little authoritarian, but probably in her best interest long term. Now to Catherine in the Phoenix area. Hello, Catherine. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Did Richard do any studies about the crime rates in Canada versus the United States? Because I know that I've read statistics where the provinces where they can get American television,
mm-hmm.
they have a higher crime rate than the non-American television provinces.
Mm, that's interesting. Richard, have you seen anything like that?
I haven't. I mean, when you started the show, you talked about the crime statistics, burglaries up. You know, it just seems to me that American television sort of creates envy, and there are things people want, and so if you can't afford them and you can't get them, you kind of do what you have to do. So, I mean, I suppose in that sense.
What they, and there are some of the provinces and the cities that actually try and prevent American
mm-hmm.
television from being broadcasted
yeah.
over the border because they actually see a difference
mm-hmm.
in their crime rate. And the statistics is that band across there is that it's higher. You have a higher murder rate. And this is a country that all their guns are registered. They are being tracked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they track it because I have a friend where the MPs actually called them and said, we have a record that you had this gun and he's now an American citizen. What did you do with it?
Well, the two Canadian provinces that I think are most impacted are probably Ontario, which includes Toronto, the largest city, and probably British Columbia, where Vancouver is.
Right. I was in Victoria, and they don't get American television there.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel safe walking the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning. When you do listen to local news, it's just as calm and... Oh, my gosh, it's like having old-fashioned news.
Well, some of that, too, is the benefit of a state-owned television network and radio network.
Right.
Thanks for your call, Catherine.
One more thing. I also happen to live in the county where the sheriff has his own tank.
Oh, Sheriff Joe.
Oh, yeah.
You lucky American.
Oh, I'm a lucky person.
Well, watch your butt.
I will.
Thanks, Catherine. Hey, Richard, thank you for a great topic. And why don't you get this piece published, and when you do, we'll tell people where to find it.
Great. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, Richard Rappaport, Merry Christmas to you. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Professor Stephen Zunis talks about the latest turmoil between Palestinians in the Middle East.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
President Bush decides to expand the military.
I'm inclined to believe that we do need to increase our troops, the Army and the Marines.
New warnings about the side effects of non-prescription pain pills.
The warnings would be uniform, more prominently displayed on packaging and containers.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush, interviewed by the Washington Post today, indicated he's accepted the argument that the armed forces are stretched too thin and need to be beefed up.
I talked to this about Secretary Gates. And he's going to spend some time talking to the folks in the building and come back with a recommendation to me about how to proceed forward on this idea.
CBS News correspondent David Martin has the background.
When President Bush met with defense leaders last week at the Pentagon, he got an earful from the Joint Chiefs of Staff about how badly the military is feeling the strain of fighting wars in Iraq and Afghanistan with no end in sight.
As for sending a surge of troops into Iraq, White House spokesman Tony Snow says it's being explored. He disputes reports of a rift between the president and the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
The notion that somehow there was some sort of feud between the president and the Joint Chiefs would be wrong.
Now this.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
'Twas the days around Christmas, when all through the land, motorists were rejoicing. Happy Honda Days was at hand. The vehicles were displayed in the showroom with care. The Civic, the Accord, the Element, even the all-new CR-V was there. Away to the Accord, I flew like a flash. Spotting the price tag, I knew they would slash. My dealer exclaimed as I drove out of sight, Happy Honda Days to all, and to all a good night.
Celebrate the great deals at your Honda dealer today.
If you're in the habit of popping over-the-counter painkillers, listen up. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports the Food and Drug Administration proposes prescription-strength warnings about potential side effects.
The warnings would alert users of so-called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, like aspirin, Advil, and Motrin, of the risk of stomach ulcers and bleeding. And people who take Tylenol and other acetaminophens would be warned that taking too many pills or mixing them with alcohol could cause severe liver damage. Public health advocates say it's about time.
The FDA says the products are safe when used as directed, but overdosing can be damaging and even deadly. More colon cancers are being detected early, and a new medical study credits the increased availability of colonoscopies.
Since Medicare began routinely covering colon cancer tests 8 years ago, screening rates have tripled. And even more importantly, there has been a rise in the proportion of older patients diagnosed with the disease at an early stage when it can be treated and even cured. Yale researcher Dr. Kerry Gross says he was surprised to find
people who had very few other problems or other diseases were actually the least likely to be diagnosed at an early stage.
So even if you think you are healthy, colonoscopies can be lifesavers. This study appears in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
With more bad weather moving toward Mount Hood, Oregon, Sheriff Joe Wampler might soon call off the search for two missing climbers.
We are approaching that time when, you know, we've got to make some serious considerations whether we're spinning our wheels or not, honestly.
Wampler was discouraged when they developed film and a disposable camera found on the body of climber Kelly James. The pictures show the men with light gear, not enough to survive a prolonged battle with the elements. Attorneys for Scooter Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, say they're calling Cheney to testify in the CIA leak case. But CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen does not expect to see the vice president in a courtroom under oath.
Just because the defense says it will call the vice president as a witness doesn't mean that Cheney is ever going to make it to the witness stand. Despite what the prosecutor said last week, we are now likely to see a whole new round of legal argument centering around executive privilege and other reasons why the White House might say a sitting vice president can't be subjected to this sort of scrutiny.
Even if Cheney is compelled to testify, it might be in a videotaped deposition. A sign of rebirth at Ground Zero in New York. Today, the first steel column was installed for the Freedom Tower, the office building that will replace the World Trade Center. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
I'm cruising in my ride, 16 switches. Gotta get my floss on, watch out.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floor Mate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues with me, your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later this hour, media critic and author Norman Solomon joins us. His latest piece is called Powell, Baker, Hamilton, Thanks for Nuttin'. And in a moment, we'll talk about the latest from Palestine, other points in the Middle East, with Professor Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. And should you like to join us, you're welcome to call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. But, you know, it is the season.
Have yourself a Condoleezza Christmas, full of Christmas. She'll be the man. She's asked Santa.
That's from the new one by the Capitol Steps. Have yourself a Condoleezza Christmas. Stephen Zunis joins us, professor of politics, University of San Francisco. He is also a Middle East editor of Foreign Policy and Focus, an associate editor of Peace Review. And he's got a website I just found out about at StephenZunis, ZUNES.org. Professor, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Do you have all the preparations for a Condoleezza Christmas?
Fortunately, no.
No? Okay. Well, I wanted to turn to the situation in the Palestinian territories, because things there seem to be descending into pretty chaotic infighting between Hamas and Fatah. And I imagine that Condoleezza Rice is sitting back, and while she's probably not cheering at the carnage and the violence, she's probably taking some consolation in this because she would like to see Hamas, diminished or eliminated from the government, despite the fact that they were elected democratically less than a year ago.
Yes, the United States' support for democracy in that part of the world depends a lot on who gets elected. The United States, of course, really pushed Fatah not to even allow Hamas to run. In fact, Congress passed a resolution about a year ago, overwhelmingly bipartisan, saying that Congress should not allow any party to run that doesn't recognize Israel's right to exist. I contacted a number of members of Congress and mentioned that the Socialist Workers Party and a couple of parties on the ballot in the U.S. elections also don't support Israel's right to exist and whether we should ban them, and they pointed out that that would be unconstitutional, but in any case, they believe it was the kind of parameters we had the right to impose on other countries. But given that Hamas did win, the United States has and much of the international community as well have cut off any kind of support for the government, mm-hmm. which, given that it's pretty much under siege and by Israel and can't have a self-sustaining economy on its own, has led to all sorts of chaos and problems and increasing poverty and, indeed, a humanitarian disaster.
Yeah. Well, and, we saw just this week, Haniyeh, who is the elected leader of the Hamas factions in Palestine, was stopped at the border as he was trying to come in with suitcases filled with $36 million. And that, of course, is a response to the cutoff by the U.S. and, more importantly, Israel of the flow of cash to the government there in Palestine, including money that Israel collects in taxes from the Palestinians. It's their money.
Yeah, right.
And Israel has been... I'm sorry?
Makes it illegal for an occupying power to seize revenues like that. It's your classic taxation not representation mm-hmm. Issue, which led to the American Revolution. It's interesting about the episode with Haniyeh at the border. It was not any border with Israel. It was between
Egypt
and Gaza Strip. But
right.
Israel insists on controlling that border as well. And the Bush administration and Congress praises Israel for its supposed withdrawal from Gaza Strip. What a lot of people don't realize is that even though the settlers that were there in violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, the International Court of Justice decision, a series of UN Security Council resolutions, while Israel finally pulled them out as required by these world legal institutions, they remain the territory remains under siege. They forbid them from reopening their airport or their seaport facilities. And in addition to tightly controlling the border between the Gaza Strip and Israel, which of mm-hmm. course they have a right to do, they also insist on controlling the border with Egypt. So it's in many ways it's a large open air prison, which with increasing poverty and desperation
mm-hmm.
and the kind of lack of authority that a government has in that situation that has contributed to the ongoing chaos.
Stephen Zunis, just one factual issue that I'm not clear on or not up to speed on. I know that during the conflict between Israel and Lebanon and Hezbollah this summer, that Israel rounded up nearly a third or up to a half of the Hamas representatives in the Palestinian parliament. Have those individuals been released?
Some have, some have not. While there's no question that the Al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, is a terrorist group. They have engaged in some heinous acts of violence against Israeli civilians over the past dozen years or more. Hamas is a lot more than just its armed wing. It has a broad network of social service organizations. It is a legal political party and the like. But Israel, with U.S. backing, has essentially made even just membership in the political party tantamount to being a member of the of a terrorist organization, with the the serious legal implications that that entails.
And as you see this situation, is there, I'm sure there's no easy fix, but what do you see as a way to reunify the Palestinians and try to find common ground between Fatah and Hamas?
Well, it's difficult. President Abbas, who's with Fatah, has called for new elections, which is not untypical in countries with the parliamentary systems where there is a real deadlock. Yet, given that Hamas does have an absolute majority, there are some questions whether he can legally do that. There were some efforts to forge a kind of grand coalition, largely led by technocrats. But the United States made clear that if there is any Hamas representation in any part of the government, they would still fail to recognize the government, resume international assistance, or include them in the peace process. So that sort of lessened the incentive for that option to take place. The dilemma, of course, is that Fatah, during its rule, was, especially when Arafat was in charge, was an incredibly corrupt organization, and was very ineffective in many of its in its governance. And the U.S.-led peace process, rather than giving the Palestinians an independent state, as the Palestinians had hoped, had just led to Israel seizing more and more Palestinian land, building this separation barrier, in some places going to the heart of Palestinian communities, and doubling the number of Israeli settlers in the West Bank. So so Hamas's appeal, saying, hey, we're not corrupt, and this might stall the peace process, but the peace process isn't moving forward anyway. Indeed, Sharon had pretty much broken off the peace process ever since he was elected in early 2001. That made many Palestinians, even those who don't agree with Hamas's reactionary social agenda or the terrorist actions by its militia, to vote for them anyway as sort of the lesser evil, as the alternative movement. So I think one thing, because this is a long way of saying that one thing that Fatah could do is try to clean up his act, purge some of the more corrupt old guard, and bring in a new generation of leadership. And I think the United States could play a role in ensuring that if a more moderate leadership comes in Palestine, we will push the peace process forward, and we'll get Israel to stop expanding these illegal settlements.
We're going to take a quick break and return with Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. If you have a question or comment, you can join us now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Well, an accident in Morgan Hill. It's Uvis Road at Kell Court. A van actually spun out, went down an embankment on the right-hand shoulder. Accident reported in Salinas, southbound 101 after Baranda Road. No further details just yet, so CHP is en route to check that out. Salinas, Old Stage Road at Old Natividad Road. We have a two-vehicle accident there. And keep your eyes open in Castroville, 156 at Highway 1. Reports of a large piece of plastic debris in one of the lanes there. Santa Cruz, we have a stall in the right-hand lane, southbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard. And in southern Monterey County, Highway 1 south of Gorda, we have a motorcycle involved in an accident that actually went off the roadway. Celebrate the season with the Volvo's holiday sales event. Lease in an 07 Volvo XC90. $359 per month, 24 months, $3,053 down. Taxes, title, license fee extra. 877-24-VOLVO. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, 21 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, focused right now on the issues of Israel and Palestine. And, Stephen, last night I was flipping around, and on C-SPAN I found a news conference from Jerusalem yesterday. Tony Blair from Britain is on a whirlwind six- or seven-stop tour of the region, and he held a joint news conference with the Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. And Olmert was interesting. It's really the first time I'd sat and watched him. And he's more comfortable in Hebrew. He does speak English, but whenever he goes into tricky answers to difficult questions, he reverts to Hebrew. And it takes a long time to explain things. Maybe that's just the structure of the language. At any rate, he was challenged by a couple of British reporters and one Israeli reporter about his recent proposals to talk to Mahmoud Abbas, and also the prospect of prisoner exchanges. And I think that former President Carter has helped focus Americans on the fact that there are more than 9,000 Palestinians being detained by Israel. And to our knowledge, there are two Israeli soldiers, or is it just the one being held by the Palestinians, Sergeant Gilad something or other, corporal maybe?
Yes,
there are two being held by Hezbollah and one by Hamas, right?
Right, correct.
Yeah.
And it's actually even unclear which faction is holding the Israeli soldiers. The Hamas-led government claims it doesn't know where they are. But in any case, the ratio is rather extraordinary. Now, many of the Palestinian prisoners indeed have engaged in acts of violence towards Israelis, some of them fighting Israeli occupation troops, some of them attacking Israeli civilians. But quite a few are held on because of acts of nonviolent resistance, or were just swept up in these large sweeps of young Palestinian males that mm-hmm. Israeli occupation forces normally do. And it's obviously become a very sensitive issue for the Palestinians. Many thousands of families have loved ones who are in Israeli prisons. And the Israeli failure to give these people trials to try to determine how many are indeed guilty of acts of terrorism and how many are in fact political prisoners has been quite frustrating. Mm-hmm. And so the prisoner exchanges have always been very high on the list of the confidence building measures that negotiators recognize are necessary to help move the peace process forward.
Yeah. Do you have any sense that Olmert's recent proposal will gain any traction? You know, he has offered a menu of issues for discussion, and while, I think it comes up short, it is an important step forward for Olmert, who appeared to be trying so hard to create a hard-line perception and image pretty much parallel to Sharon.
Yes, and he's in a broader coalition government than Sharon was for most of his career, and he's been getting a lot of pressure from Israelis to try to move the peace process forward, or at least make it appear like the peace process is moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly a willingness to resume talks is a positive step. Generally, the Israelis, however, have been talking more in terms of area, security concerns and the like, but not willing, again, to engage in the kind of confidence-building measures like putting a freeze on settlements that would give the Palestinians hope that things are going to move forward. Because Olmert is still planning to move forward in his so-called convergence plan, which is where Israel would unilaterally withdraw from certain segments of the West Bank while consolidating control behind this separation barrier. This is a combination of wall and fencing and that is snaking through the occupied West Bank, which would leave the Palestinians with what would amount to a Bantustan, a series of non-contiguous cantons effectively surrounded by Israel, which Israel would then declare the Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
The Bush administration, a wide bipartisan majority of Congress, has gone on record endorsing the convergence plan. But the Palestinians, and with support of most of the international community, are still hoping there can be a comprehensive negotiation process that might make it possible for Israel to withdraw from virtually all the occupied territories, as they're required to do, with perhaps some mutual and small mutual exchanges
mm-hmm.
in some border areas, but something along the lines of the Geneva initiative that leading Israeli and Palestinian politicians signed in late 2003.
So as you look at this picture, and I'm thinking of the interview that I saw with Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton on the NewsHour after their report was issued, and they first talked about, parallel to Jimmy Carter, that it's shameful that for 6 years there's been really no initiative from the Bush administration to try to move forward on a path toward peace in the Middle East. And at the same time, both Baker and Hamilton kind of suggested that, well, really, we just need to go through the motions and appease people, make it look like we're doing something.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really disappointing that the Bush administration's attitude has generally either been to support Israel's positions outright or take the attitude, well, let the two sides work it out among themselves, ignoring the gross asymmetry in power between the Palestinians under occupation and mm-hmm. their under a weak, corrupt government and their occupiers, the Israeli, which are by far the most powerful country in the region. There's many, many negative things one can say about the Palestine Authority, both under its current leadership and under Arafat, but mm-hmm. the fact remains that as the occupying power, the onus of responsibility in moving things forward belongs to the Israelis. I mean, you could say a lot of nasty things about the Kuwaiti government as well, but that still didn't give Iraq under Saddam Hussein the right to occupy that country back in the early 1990s.
Well, the U.S. now subscribes to the occupier's code of silence.
Very much so.
Stephen, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Stephen Zunis, professor of politics, University of San Francisco. Coming up next, Norman Solomon joins us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Who's in control? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Democratic Senator Tim Johnson is recovering from brain surgery, and besides family members, one of his most attended visitors was Senator Harry Reid, the Democrat in line to become majority leader, provided Senator Johnson is well enough to vote for him in 3 weeks. The news anchors did their best not to appear callous in reporting the politics of this, but in Washington, when party control is at stake, sympathy beads up and rolls off, especially when control of Congress could well determine what we do next in Iraq. It reminds us once again that despite humankind's best efforts to control events, control is an illusion. Indeed, as Senator Johnson was fighting to hang on, there was the president at the Pentagon still looking for a way to win, to be in control of events in Iraq, and hearing instead the generals tell him that we are not in control of events in Iraq. According to the Washington Post, the subtext of yesterday's meeting was, quote, the growing concern of the Joint Chiefs about the erosion of the U.S. military's ability to deal with other crises around the world, unquote. In other words, for all our military power, our attempt to control 20,000 insurgents in Iraq threatens to make us less able to control events elsewhere. Who thought that one man's decision in the Oval Office 4 years ago to say do it instead of don't do it could have led here? And who thought that how we deal with the consequences of that decision might, in the end, have been determined 59 years ago when a boy who would run for the Senate was born with congenital arteriovenous malformation?
Get the good stuff!
Pick up a truckload of fun this holiday season with the new NAPA No. 55 Race Car Transporter Toy Truck. It's over 25 inches long with an authentic 2007 NAPA paint scheme. Made for ages 4 and up, this limited edition truck features stamped steel and ABS plastic construction with full cab interior, working lights, rear trailer doors, and engine horn and air brake sounds. Get it for just $29.99 only at NAPA. NAPA, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
This is Dave Ross on the CBS.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Peter B. Collins Show.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What?
just like Edwin Starr. The title of this commentary reads, Powell, Baker, Hamilton, thanks for absolutely nothing. Norman Solomon's the author of this piece, and he's also the author of a book out in paperback now called War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Norman Solomon, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing today?
Well, okay. And hearing that music, it makes me think about how so much of the policy is being made by folks that we could call the headless horsemen of the apocalypse out of Washington.
Yeah.
I just saw a CNN poll that really was stunning. 11% of the country wants to send more troops to Iraq. That's the kind of support that wackos like John McCain get on their zeal to simply escalate this war. 11%.
Well, that's comforting, because to me the biggest problem we see right now is not so much our wayward, in-denial president. I don't expect anything of him. But the Democratic leaders who are saying they could go along with a troop surge.
Yeah.
I am just shocked that Harry Reid, casually on Sunday, first said that this war cannot be won militarily, and then said, well, I probably wouldn't oppose it if it's a short-term surge.
Yeah, shameful. You know, Harry Reid, get a clue. He's so checked out, and yet whenever the Democrats have wanted to ride the wave for electoral victory, they kind of go back and say some halfway sensible things, but you know, maybe his head's in the Washington clouds too much. I don't know what to say. You know, Hillary Clinton is getting headlines in the last 12 hours or so about how she does not support a surge, and yet when you look at their actual statements, it's not a lot of difference. You know, they're saying, well, you know, if it's part of a long-term plan, I might consider it. Well, everything's been part of a long-term plan, to use the term advisedly.
Well, such as they are, you're right. And, you know, when you look at this, it's not just you and me who have a hunch that this war can't be won with military tactics and forces.
Yeah.
It's the very generals on the ground that Bush always deflects questions to. Well, when they ask me for more troops, I'll give them more troops.
Yeah.
Well, it's very clear that the current leadership, the brass in Iraq, does not believe that a surge of, you know, up to 30,000 or 40,000 troops would make much difference. And, Norman, I put this in a little different perspective yesterday, because we often look at that troop count of 140,000, 150,000 uniformed service members, but there are over 100,000 contractors in Iraq. That puts our American boots on the ground at 250,000. And you add 20,000 or 30,000 to that, that's less than 10%, or about 10%. And that's not going to have any meaningful impact. And you know, I say that to try to work with them for a minute and refute their argument. But we have gone off the deep end into a really irrational zone.
This is one difference between the Vietnam War and the current situation, because 40 years ago, it was the Joint Chiefs of Staff and some of the top generals in the Pentagon who were pulling and pushing the president to further escalate, send more troops, and drop more bombs. Now, the real, what Martin Luther King called the madness of militarism, is centered in the Oval Office. And it's generals in the Pentagon who are trying to slam the brakes on. But they work for the guy who's the president and the commander-in-chief. That's the basic problem.
This came in from the Washington Post earlier today. In an interview with the Post, Bush said he has asked his new defense chief, Robert Gates, who was sworn in yesterday, to report back to him with a plan to increase ground forces. The president didn't say how many might be added, but he said he agreed with officials in the Pentagon and on Capitol Hill that the current military is being stretched too thin to deal with demands of fighting terrorism. Now, first of all, this article, which I got from the AP, blindly repeats Republican framing and talking points, because they're talking about adding troops to Iraq and in the same breath say that, you know, this has to do with fighting terrorism. That's BS. We know that.
Yeah.
Bush quoted here, I'm inclined to believe that we do need to increase our troops, the Army, the Marines, he said in an Oval Office session. And I talked about this to Secretary Gates. He's going to spend some time talking to the folks in the building. Come back with a recommendation to me about how to proceed forward on this idea. Now, this is breathtaking, Norman, because the dust has not even begun to build on the Baker Commission, the Iraq Study Group report, and the president has spun all the way past it. And because the Democratic leadership is so busy practicing their bipartisanship, they're not producing any roadblocks for this.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I guess 13 days to be precise, when the Baker-Hamilton report arrived at the White House, I think it was DOA, it was already sunk because Bush had no interest in pursuing a real scale down of the war. From another vantage point, it's interesting to think of all the commentaries in the last few years from people at the New York Times and elsewhere who are critical of Bush, who say, you know, the real problem started when he refused to, and I'm going to butcher the guy's name, General Shashvili. It's so hard to say.
Shalakashvili.
That one. That's well said. This has been kind of the mantra of the so-called moderate critics of this war, that if only that general had been listened to instead of essentially had his career ended for saying that there would be a need for many more troops in the invasion and initial occupation.
Now, I think we're actually talking about Shinseki there.
Yes, there.
Shinseki was the one who asked for 300,000 to 400,000 troops. And Cy Hirsch has very vividly reported the back and forth between Rumsfeld and the planners at the Southern Command in Florida. And it was Rumsfeld who made the final call, and it was based on his transformation of the military. Then Shinseki was forced to retire.
Yeah, Shinseki had the wrong advice, which turned out to be correct. An underlying question, though, is that after a couple of years of these kind of liberal critics of the war saying, you know, we should have sent in more troops from the get-go, well, Bush is saying, you know, we should have more troops there now. And in a way, the tactical arguments against this war have set the stage for Bush to do this now. I think the only really consistent and in the long run effective argument against this war is that it's wrong. And the reason that the U.S. can't win is not because of inferior tactics or number of troops, but that the people who live in Iraq don't want us there.
Gosh, that's stunningly simple and so rational, Norman. No wonder it doesn't get any traction at the White House.
And, you know, we don't have a prayer for getting into the CNNs and Foxes and MSNBCs every night. You have to have really whacked out people like Glenn Beck to get on a soapbox because they're simply egging on the militarism of the society. And yet, you know, historically, it's been radio programs like this, as few as they are, who raise these issues, who build from the grassroots opposition to a war, and that's the way these wars finally end.
But now we see, and you cited a poll, the support for the war in general is in the 20% range. The president is looking at his lowest support numbers ever. And yet the media, momentarily, at times, they right around the election, they seem to pick up that it's safe to criticize Bush, and that was the point where NBC used Matt Lauer to deliver the news that it's now going to be called a civil war. Well, those are baby steps, and in the big picture, they still do not give a voice to people who want to argue, as you have, that, you know, this is an enterprise that was based on fundamentally wrong premises and can't be fixed or corrected in post-production. And those arguments are never heard. Dennis Kucinich has once again announced that he's running for president. And this was fascinating. Last week, Chris Matthews came back from a vacation. He was on Hardball. And they scheduled Kucinich for the last 5 minutes of the show. And they really jammed him in, gave him very little time to talk. And before that, there was a breezy segment with two of Matthews' cronies, where he killed a lot of time on useless chatter about Rudy Giuliani and whether he's going to run and kind of a look at Barack Obama, and the Hillary thing came up again. They gave all this time to, you know, unstructured jibber-jabber about, presidential politics speculation. And here's a guy who stood up and said, I'm running. And they bookend him at the end of the show and basically just send a clear message that they believe he's marginal and therefore it's okay to marginalize him.
Well, you know, I think Chris Matthews is an example of a pundit on network television where there's really not a lot of there. I think there's a lot of Hollow Man running around, and he's erratic, and he will simply go with the wind or his own gut. You know, when Bush was riding high a few years ago, Chris Matthews was licking his boots on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the war is not going well and Bush is unpopular, Matthews doesn't have anything good to say about his dear president.
Well, and just while we're talking about these guys, I want to take a moment to praise Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
And last night, and I think again tonight, you'll be able to see some replays of his so-called special comments, the commentaries that have been increasingly blistering and very spot on that he started doing a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah, he's very tough. He's very good. He's really an exception to the rule, and that's what we need a lot more of.
Yeah, indeed. Norman, you need to get that? Why don't you get that? We'll take our break, and we'll come back with Norman Solomon in just a minute or two. If you'd like to talk with us, grab a line right now at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
Well, an accident in Salinas. It's Old Stage Road at Old Natividad Road. Two vehicles involved in this one. CHP is on scene, working on clearing them out of the roadway and just writing a report before they move all the way out of there. A stall in Santa Cruz, southbound one before Morrissey Boulevard. This is a stall blocking the right-hand lane. In Live Oak, we have a Capitola Road exit at Rodriguez Street with a vehicle and a bicyclist involved in an accident there. No injuries reported, but CHP is on scene working on clearing them out of there. Soledad, southbound 101. After Campora Gloria Road, we have an injury accident. This is a solo vehicle actually swerved across all the lanes and went off the roadway. So CHP is on scene. We do need a tow truck with a cable to get it back up on the roadway. This report brought to you by Cost Plus World Market, hosting the holiday meal. Then visit the wine department at Cost Plus World Market for great prices on wines that are fit for a feast. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest, Norman Solomon. You can read the piece we're talking about. I found it at truthout.org. It's called Powell, Baker, Hamilton, Thanks for Nothing. And there's room for your call right now if you want to chat with us. 888-5-PETER-B. Wall-to-wall phone calls next hour in the free speech zone. My toll-free number is 888-573-8372. And in the case of Colin Powell, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, political posturing, and mobile weapons labs purported to exist by a guy named Curveball. And Norman Solomon, in this piece, you also take on General Powell, the former Secretary of State. He has edged up either directly or through his associate Lawrence Wilkerson into more sharp criticism of the Bush administration, and he embraced the Baker-Hamilton Commission's findings in general. He also has opposed a surge in forces. He says that, as a former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, if I still had that job, I'd ask what is their mission and, can they actually accomplish it? And so... It appears that Powell is trying to rehabilitate his image, but it also appears that Norman Solomon's not buying it.
Well, you can set your watch on opportunism from Colin Powell. He's been functioning that way for literally 40 years, ever since he was a junior officer in Vietnam and fielded a letter to his commander about the AmeriCal division in Vietnam committing atrocities against Vietnamese civilians. He claimed to investigate the charge. He didn't. And instead, he issued a report to his commander saying that relations between the AmeriCal division of the United States military and Vietnamese civilians were excellent. And, of course, this was the unit that was involved in the My Lai massacre. From that day to this, Colin Powell has really tried to do as much as he can to enhance his own credibility. And when it becomes undermined, he simply retreats as far back as he needs to try to refurbish it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but based on Democratic support for Secretary Gates, who had problems in the 80s and 90s, that's ancient history, and it's all off the books if you want to talk about Colin Powell in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, we're all forward-looking. It's ancient history that matters when it's U.S. atrocities, opportunism, lies, and deception. But, of course, Saddam Hussein is scheduled to be executed because of ancient history that we do want to talk about.
Indeed. Mark in Phoenix, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Norman Solomon.
Thanks, Peter B. I really have problems with Gates being unopposed. I really have trouble with that.
I've gotten over it, but it wasn't easy.
I just can't understand how they can just forget about where he was and what he was doing during Iran-Contra. And furthermore, what's being missed by the administration when the Joint Chiefs are saying, well, what's our mission if we have a surge in troops? Nobody can tell you what your mission is.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell you what victory is. Nobody can tell you what the mission is. And it's just an asinine loop that they go into. How can you send troops when they don't know what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, and we have so many troops who are currently misassigned. We have members of the Navy and the Air Force walking street patrols in Baghdad and Tikrit
and
trying to pull out of Anbar province. And, the idea that so far it hasn't been identified for me that there are military police or other specialists who could be surged, to use their word, could be dispatched into Iraq and make a critical difference. Norman?
No, really, the mission is some kind of psychological warp in the mind of the president. I think that's the only discernible mission of deploying 10, 20, 50,000 more troops in Iraq from the U.S. military. And that warp seems to be kind of parallel with the one in the mind of a senator from Arizona.
I mean, oh, absolutely.
There we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we don't know what the mission is, so let's send more people over there. Why?
Hey, what the heck? It's better than being defeated, although they're going to get both. They're going to get more troop deployments and defeat.
They're already defeated.
Gentlemen,
they have no mission.
The other thing,
you're doing is losing personnel.
The other thing that's going on here is that because the Democrats have not confronted, and even if they did it civilly and in a bipartisan manner, blocked temporarily at least the Gates nomination to send a signal to the administration that the Democrats won't roll over, well, that was an opportunity lost. And now the Bush administration, which has talked about bipartisanship, is once again moving forward in a unilateral way. And Norman, what I see here is that the Bush administration is generously permitting the Democrats to share the blame for this misguided new way forward, whatever the hell that means.
Well, the Democrats will indict themselves to the extent that they stay silent or just mumble their objections to this war. And I think, frankly, that that is a big part of why John Kerry was not elected president in 2004. He stood, what was it, at the Grand Canyon and mumbled something which was widely understood to be unwillingness to oppose this war. And his ratings began to sink right there.
Well, that was October 04 at the Grand Canyon. You're right. What he said was that he was asked if he would vote for the authorization to use military force if he had it to do over again. And he said, yes. And I have said on many occasions when I heard that, I wanted to push him in.
Well, an understandable impulse.
Yeah.
Mark, the way it should be.
Mark, did you have another comment?
No, thank you. You've addressed everything.
All right.
You should have pushed him in, Peter B.
I just wasn't there physically. My remote control is not that powerful. Thank you, Mark. More of your calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone next hour, so join me with your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. So, Norman, as we look at this picture, I didn't have any major expectations of the Baker-Hamilton Commission, but it's still stunning to me how quickly this has been shelved and pushed out of current thinking. The Democrats show no appetite to cut off funding for the war, which is the most powerful leverage that they have over this wayward president. And the media is continuing to parrot the Republican line. It's awful damn discouraging.
Well, it is, and yet I think the positives are that there's enormous grassroots opposition that now needs to be galvanized and mobilized. And also, the fact is that while opportunism has created and perpetuated this war along Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, there are people on Capitol Hill who can read the poll numbers. And just to see what those numbers look like now really strongly suggests that even if not for the right reasons, there are going to be people on Capitol Hill who realize that being associated with this war is a death knell for winning the 2008 campaign. And I think if we can build the pressure, that could make a big difference.
Let's go to Frank in Marina. Frank, thanks for calling. You're on the PBC show with Norman Solomon.
Okay, Norman, you're a hero of mine. I've been listening to you for many, many years.
Oh, thank you.
The KPFA. Anyway, the only way we're going to stop this massacre in Iraq on both sides, we have to support the GI resistance movement just like we did in Vietnam. These politicians, everybody can't understand the Democrats. Gee, how come Harry Reid says 40,000 additional troops? I mean, for 4 months or 2 years or whatever. McCain, he should still be in a race paddies in North Vietnam.
Frank, let me go back to your first point because it's powerful. Yes, we should be supporting military resistors, and look what they're doing. They have sent a subpoena to Sarah Olson of Truth Out to force her to testify against Lieutenant Aaron Watada.
And Dorje White.
Why is that? The reason is they want to chill the free speech rights of both military members and members of the press in this country and send a key message that we're going to kick your ass if you support these courageous individuals who are standing up and refusing to continue to serve in an immoral war.
Well, I greatly admire Sarah Olson and Dar Jamail, other journalists who are not being cowed by the government, and I really admire so many of the members of the U.S. military who are speaking up, they're standing up, they're doing what Bush prattles about, but what they are willing to actually do in their lives, and that is to stick up for principle and deal with the consequences. I think that the military resistors against this war deserve our support 24/7 because they're going to help to end this war.
Frank, another comment? Just a minute remaining.
That's it. We have to support you know, the, for all your listeners, CourageToResist.org.
All right.
Or thank you, LT.
Okay, thanks.
Wakaba.
Thanks a lot, Frank. And I got your Christmas package. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good to talk to you today. Right. Norman, a final comment? We got about 30 seconds.
Well, the media spin that you alluded to is powerful, and it kind of feeds on itself. When you watch these pundits on television, you read some of the most widely syndicated columnists, they seem to be in some kind of bubble that's almost as weird as the president. And often they think if only they criticize Bush, they're going to make sense. That doesn't cut it. We need to stop this war, not simply snipe at Bush.
Thank you, Norman. Have a great holiday, and we'll see you in the new year.
You too. Thanks, Peter.
Norman Solomon is the author most recently of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. I'm Peter B. Collins. The Free Speech Zone is next.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is responding to the pleas of his military commanders. Interviewed by the Washington Post today, Mr. Bush confirmed he's decided to expand the armed forces.
The reason why is it is a accurate reflection that this ideological war we're in is going to last for a while.
CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the pressure to do this has been building.
With Marines going back to Iraq for their third and fourth tours, Marine Commandant General James Conway has said he needs to increase the size of the Corps from 180,000 to 185,000. And just last week, Army Chief of Staff General Pete Schoomaker said the Army was near the breaking point, a judgment seconded by former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Colin Powell. But it will take time to train and recruit more soldiers. The Army could increase its current number of 507,000 by at most 7,000 a year.
And even that would require more recruiting efforts and more financial incentives. A separate issue is whether more troops should be sent into Iraq on a short-term basis. Democratic Congressman Ike Skelton is skeptical.
What's their mission? What is the military mission if you send another 20,000 troops into Baghdad? I don't know. Would it exacerbate the problem of being more targets?
He's the incoming chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. You can buy big bottles of non-prescription painkillers, 1,000 pills at a pop, so they seem very safe. But not always. CBS News correspondent John Harchi reports the Food and Drug Administration is proposing new, more strongly worded warning labels.
The FDA wants to make it very clear to consumers that taking too much over-the-counter pain medicine can cause problems. In a conference call with reporters, the FDA's Dr. Charles Ganley said the link, for example, between too much aspirin use and stomach bleeding is not a new one.
Trying to emphasize it more, particularly to the public.
The goal is to make warnings more prominent. Maybe people taking daily aspirin for cardiovascular treatment will be more careful about any additional painkiller they take. And there's another warning that will point out that too much acetaminophen, the ingredient in Tylenol, can cause liver problems. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
In Jefferson City, Missouri, late last month, fire killed 10 people at a group home for the mentally ill and disabled. Investigators have learned that just hours earlier, a maintenance man working on the furnace deliberately short-circuited the wiring to cut the power.
There is a possibility that that could have caused other electrical damage or other damage to the wiring.
Deputy State Fire Marshal Bill Zier says the wiring ran through the attic where the fire originated, but they'll never know the cause for sure because that part of the building was completely destroyed. A new study finds premarital sex is the norm in America, and it's nothing new. The Guttmacher Institute found that more than 9 out of 10 men and women have sex before marriage, and that includes people born as far back as the 1940s. Wall Street today, the Dow gained 30 points to close at a new high, 12,471. This is CBS News.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
With less than a week before Christmas, you'll find perfect gifts for everyone at Kohl's 2-Day Christmas Countdown Sale. This Tuesday and Wednesday, check off every gift left on your list and take home great finds like Fisher-Price and Little Tykes toys at 50% off, fine jewelry at 60% off, and we even have a 7-inch portable DVD player for just $79.99. Who wouldn't love that? Don't miss out on great gifts at great prices at Kohl's 2-Day Christmas Countdown Sale this Tuesday and Wednesday. Holiday hours are 7 a.m. to midnight at Kohl's. Expect great things.
Signs of renewal in two cities today. WWL Radio's Chris Miller reports a well-known feature of New Orleans is returning for the first time since Katrina hit.
The historic streetcars are rolling once again.
Where shredded cable hung following the storm, today neat rows of overhead wires stand ready to power New Orleans on a streetcar we should call revival.
Jim Simpson with the Federal Department of Transportation says Washington kicked in more than $9 million for the repairs. A one-mile loop from Canal Street to Lee Circle and back resumed operation today for the first time since Hurricane Katrina. All 6 miles should be back in operation in a year. Chris Miller for CBS News. New Orleans.
In New York, the first steel column for the Freedom Tower was set in place today at the site of the World Trade Center. It's the symbolic beginning of a years-long project to construct an office building. The big column is painted with an American flag. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
'Twas the days around Christmas, when all through the land, motorists were rejoicing. Happy Honda Days was at hand. The vehicles were displayed in the showroom with care. The Civic, the Accord, the Element, even the all-new CR-V was there. Away to the Accord, I flew like a flash. Spotting the price tag, I knew they would slash. My dealer exclaimed as I drove out of sight, Happy Honda Days to all, and to all a good night.
Celebrate the great deals at your Honda dealer today.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's the Free Speech Zone, where your calls and comments are most welcome. Have you heard the rules? We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and I pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Call me. For me, topic A is, how do we stop the Democratic leaders from rolling over with the Bush administration's proposal to put more troops into a failed war in Iraq? I'm looking for your ideas and your comments on that. Eric in San Francisco emailed in, Peter B., would it help to change the Democrats' stance on supporting a surge in new troops to Iraq and further the whole issue of pulling out of Iraq completely if we, the people, especially here in San Francisco with incoming Speaker Pelosi, started to flood her office with calls and emails expressing our extreme opposition to any more Democratic appeasement of the administration's awful policy of continuing to occupy the country? I figure that it doesn't really matter whether those of us against the war happen to be in favor of the complete defunding and immediate withdrawal of troops, or if you are one of the decrease the funding and phased withdrawal types. If we all flood the offices calling for complete immediate removal, then if we're lucky, we might actually get an actual withdrawal sometime within a year from now. Well, you make a good point. It's interesting because the Bush administration has successfully cast those of us calling for a policy shift and withdrawal as people who expect to, you know, escape from Iraq in 20 minutes. And while it would be possible to withdraw all U.S. forces in a fairly short period of time, I think 30 or 60 days would do it, I recognize that this government and this administration are not going to move quickly. So in order to turn this huge tanker or ocean liner around, we need a course change, and we need to stay on a corrected course. And that course, in my view, doesn't have anything to do with this so-called new way forward. And I think it's a crock for Democrats to use that language, because there is no way forward in Iraq except to obliviously plow into machinery that's going to produce more carnage. So I'd like to hear from you. What do you think we can do? Do you have any creative strategies? It is the holiday season. Your member of Congress is coming home to the district. How can we get the message to them most effectively that we will tolerate no further collaboration with the neocons in trying to save their own butts in a war that is clearly lost? And it's not pleasant for me to say that. I don't take any pleasure in my opinion that this war is lost and that we should accept that, face up to it, and deal with it. And on the other side, they continue to taunt those of us who are realistic and offer an assessment like that, saying we're quitters, we're losers, we're whiners. And I don't accept that. We're trying to speak the truth about the reality that we see, not simply subscribing to some political spin, chasing one failed policy after another. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. All my lines are open right now. I'd like to hear from you. And we're getting into the holiday mode, so people's schedules are changed. Some people didn't have to pick up the kids at school today. And what that means is there's room for a whole new wave of people to participate here in the Peter B. Collins Show. I know you're driving home in Phoenix there. You got your radio on. You got your cell phone holstered there. Pick it up and press the buttons. 1-888-573-8372. Likewise, I know there's a big traffic jam leaving Eureka heading north, getting to Trinidad and points north. And I want to hear from you. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. One of the other subjects we discussed with writer Richard Rappaport earlier today is that we do have an increase in the crime rate in this country. But what is worse is the crime programming on television, how it whips up fear. It creates a perception of cops as superheroes who are above the law and who are, godlike in their judgment of the individuals that they pop in on, bust in on, and arrest while the cameras are rolling. And we talked about this ugly series of reports on Dateline NBC, fronted by a guy named Chris Hansen, who is self-righteous, judgmental, and I believe is operating outside the law. Because time after time, they have tried to catch sexual predators by setting up traps for them. And I think it's unethical. I don't think these things should be broadcast. And I think that there are, there's real damage to the individuals who get entrapped. And there is real damage to our criminal justice system when people operate fast and loose for the benefit of primetime TV. What are the stats about the surge in crime? Well, it's mostly driven by an increase in robberies. Robberies were up 9.7%, murders up about 1.5%, 1.4%. Arson was up 6.8%. Rape is largely unchanged. This is in the first 6 months of 2006, national figures from the FBI. And I believe a lot of what's going on here is drug-related, meth-related in particular, and that the burglaries are driven by people who are trying to quickly raise money to support a drug habit. And, you know, I think that there's going to be a predictable reaction from the tough-on-crime crowd as they propose more cops, more laws, and more. But rarely do they address the underlying issues or deal realistically with the problems. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Anything else is in the news that you want to comment on? Dick Cheney is expected to testify at Scooter Libby's trial starting sometime in January. That will be a precedent-setting event. I think it's the first time a sitting vice president has testified in a major trial like that. And there are other issues you can bring up, too. So use your free speech rights wisely here and join us on the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B. Up first is Chuck in Washington. Hello, Chuck. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, Chuck, it is not necessary to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call because you called me, and you're going to add to the dialogue on this program. So
accept
my thanks, okay?
Absolutely. I'm a vet as well, and you were talking about some of the people that are complaining and saying, well, if we get out of Iraq, we're quitters. How come those people aren't over there? They're the ones that, if they're so for the war, they ought to be over there. They can enlist up to the age of 42, and if they're too old for that, they ought to join Halliburton. Help them out like that. Serve them some food.
Well, they are chicken hawks, and in fact, you've inspired me. After the next break, I'll give you a little taste of Roy Zimmerman's Chicken Hawk song. It's a great one. But you know, you're operating in a zone where if you act hypocritically, you feel shame, and you don't want to continue doing that. These are people who have no shame, who do not sense the hypocrisy of their statements or their actions. And so I'm sorry it's lost on them.
Well, and there's only 28% of the people in this country that support Bush's current Iraq plan. So it's not necessarily brave to come out and say, hey, we need to get out. We need to get out now. That's the majority of the people, and I think the Democrats need to stand up and do that.
And why aren't they willing to do that? It's so clear to me that that's where the public is and that's where, moral correctness is. So what is it that keeps the Democrats from really stepping up?
Well, I think they've been hit in the face so many times every time they've tried to take a stand on this kind of thing as not being for security that they're afraid to. And they're just flinching every time somebody comes at them like that.
Well, I'm sorry. They should have gotten some strength and sustenance from the results of the election, from their ascendance into the majority in both houses. And this is inexcusible. I'm sorry.
Well,
the intimidation is a thing of the past. They are no longer in the minority, and they need to act like that. And they should have started with the Gates nomination. Again, I don't believe they had the votes or the will to stop it completely, but they should have papered the file with the misdeeds of Robert Gates over the years, and it should not have been a unanimous vote of those present. That's shameful. It's really shameful.
Well, especially given his involvement in Iran-Contra, and yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. Great to hear from you from D.C. tonight.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. I've got a couple of lines open, so join us and we'll talk at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, it's a replay of our show with Ronnie Bramer and Louis Basil on investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. We want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season, and remember to share good times with friends and family. We're getting ready for our biggest year in 2007 for real estate deals and information, so check us out right here Sunday morning at 10 and visit our website at rockrollinrealestate.com. For more information, you can always call us at 408-892-3376. And happy holidays from all of us here at Rock Rollin' Real Estate.
The days of wine.
12-Step Talk Uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Well, we're going to start in Soledad this time around. Southbound 101 after Camporia Gloria Road, we have a solo vehicle that actually spun out. This vehicle spun out, swerved across all lanes of traffic, and actually went off the roadway. So minor injuries reported in this CHP, as well as emergency crews on scene working on clearing that out. Also an injury accident in Seaside. It's southbound 1 at Fort Ord Main Gate. This is the right lane is blocked by this accident. Four vehicles involved in this. One of those vehicles overturned, so emergency crews en route for that. In Santa Cruz, we have some long-term road work going on. It's northbound Highway 1. The Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is closed for long-term road work. This is actually scheduled to go all the way through December of next year. This report brought to you by your Bay Area Mercedes-Benz dealers. There's never been a better time to buy that Mercedes on your wish list. Through January 2nd, get special offers through Mercedes on select C, E, and M-Class models. Visit your Bay Area Mercedes-Benz dealer. I'm Diane with Traffic, KRXA 540.
On the Peter B. Collins. This one's for Chuck in D.C.
Well, my son asked me today, is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken hawk.
Call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk, a loyal armchair jock. Let's check that Lockheed stock. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk.
That's Roy Zimmerman. Go to royzimmerman.com to get more information on his act, and he'll be with us on Christmas Day on the Peter B. Collins Show. Christmas Day, we'll have some fun with Dr. Elmo in the first hour, Roy Zimmerman in the second, and in our third hour Christmas Day, you'll get some gems from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives. And while we're talking about the next week or so, starting Friday, we're going to be presenting the best of Peter B. Collins, and that just means reruns, so Matt Renner and I can take some time off and enjoy enjoy it with our families and recharge a little bit. And our live programming will resume on January 2nd. So if you're a new listener in Phoenix, Coos Bay, or elsewhere, and you listen over the next week or so, you're going to hear the Peter B. Collins Show kind of like on iPod Shuffle. You'll hear some different segments from different programs over the past year, and I hope you'll enjoy it and accept it as an adequate substitute while we recharge. Now to Tempe, and Randall's on the line. Welcome back, Randall. How are you today?
Is this Peter B. Good?
Speaking at you.
Well, this is hard to handle Randall out here in Tempe. Peter, I'm not going to thank you for taking my call.
Good.
If you will promise to try not to talk about the Democrats in the third person and try to get the listeners and commentators to talk about the Democrats in the first person because, you know, it's us. We are the Democrats. Those people in Congress are our employees.
Well, Randall, I appreciate your point. And I go back and forth because I'd like to be clear. I'm a registered independent. I am not an active member of the Democratic Party. I support the Democrats over the Republicans 9 out of 8 times. However, I believe that it's my job not to be an echo chamber for the Democrats, not to be we the Democrats, but to really be a burr under the saddle of the Democratic Party and try to move them in a more progressive direction.
Okay, let me approach you from another angle then.
All right.
You're not a member of the Democratic Party, but you are a member of the Grand Democratic Progressive Coalition.
Indeed.
No?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. Well, we are the Democrats. We're the Democratic Coalition, not necessarily the Democratic Party.
All right.
And but those of us who are inside the Democratic Party are going at it from that angle, from trying to build an organization that wins elections in order to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the coalition will vote with us or not as they see fit, and we hope they will.
Well, and what I'm trying to do is collect on what I believe we are owed from giving the Democrats leadership of both houses in this past November election. And what we are owed is a strong statement of opposition to any further expansion of this war in Iraq, and not only that, to scale it back and to end American participation as soon as practical.
In that, we are in complete accord. And the thing is that we did elect them, yes. And some of them actually realize that it was us that elected them. Some of them think it was all the money they got from Rahm Emanuel and their corporate masters. And right now they're not listening to talk radio. They're on the phone dialing for dollars for the 08 election. So in order to get their attention, we may need a 2x4, and we have to keep up a cacophony, a din of pressure on them to do the right thing, because they're inside the Beltway. They're not breathing oxygen. They're breathing nitrous oxide right now.
Yeah. Well, and Randall, I got a remodel going on at the house. I got plenty of 2x4s, so I'll provide the cudgel, okay?
There you go.
Thank you, brother.
I got to run. The only way they're going to do right.
Happy holidays to you, Randall. Thanks for
you
your
too.
Call. Now we go to Eureka, and we've got Donna on the line. Hi, Donna.
Donna Lee.
Hello, Donna Lee.
This is the first time I've ever heard your show, and I thought, my God, intelligent talk radio.
Why, thank you.
Then you said something that absolutely horrified me.
Oh, what's that?
Please do not encourage people to use their cell phones to call you while they're in traffic. Even if they're talking on the speaker part of the phone, their brains and their mouths are engaged in listening and talking. They're not paying attention to their driving. And you need all the listeners you can get. You don't need them piling up on the freeway.
Well, Barbara,
I
won't. I take your cautionary note, but I think that my listeners are intelligent enough to decide whether it is safe for them to make a call while they are driving.
Well,
let me tell you something. What?
I am a person's surviving a brain injury after having been hit by a driver who thought he was intelligent enough to do two things at once. And I'm not to overestimate or underestimate the intelligence of your listeners, but if you're listening to something and you're passionate and it's intelligent and you want to pay attention, it's not a real good time to be talking on the phone.
Well, and if that's the case, then you should pull over or,
I don't drive anymore.
Somebody else drive. Okay. Well, I do understand your point. And here in California, we have a new law kicking in January 1st where you cannot operate a car and talk on a cell phone without a headset or other hands-free device.
Okay, you have a lot of 2x4s in your home remodeling.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can I have one of those to hit the windshield appeal to the first person I see holding the phone in their hand? I mean, I want
to
comply with the law if I can.
How long of a 2x4 do you need?
Hey, not a big one. I can run fast.
Donna Lee, thanks for your call.
Thanks. It's a great show.
Okay.
I hope all of your listeners survive to hear the rest of it.
Okay, now I want you to tell them, drive carefully now.
Drive carefully. Pay attention. Driving is a full-time job.
I remember when I lost my mind.
I was driving and talking on my cell phone, and I lost my mind. And just one more time, I want to thank the fine folks at the Sharper Image in Carmel by the Sea. I sat in one of their real expensive mechanical massage chairs. It caused my phone to fall out of my pocket. And I was bereft for 12 hours until I called my phone, and a happy voice at the Sharper Image said, "We got it." And they sent it back to me. And I pledged, Donna Lee, not to talk on the phone while I'm driving. Under so many cases.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Good day.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
On the Peter B. Collins Show. You know what will happen if you talk on your cell phone while you're driving? You might not come back from Dead Man's Curve. Let's not go all the way to Dead Man's Curve. Let's go to Phoenix and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How are you? How are you, Peter?
I'm doing great. I'm infected with a holiday spirit. I'm starting to feel it.
I feel it myself over here in Phoenix, believe it or not, in the desert. Lights and everything, it's real nice.
Cool.
And my prayers go out to that last caller. She sounded very, very smart lady. I can only imagine what she was like before the accident.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. She's suffering and recovering.
Now, it sounds like you're on a cell. Are you driving?
I am guilty.
Yeah.
But my question, the reason I'm calling is what you said earlier about Dateline, man, and Chris Hansen. When the first time I saw that, what they were doing with the, you know, not by any means am I defending pedophiles or any of the other, you know, stuff that's
going
on.
You don't have to say that to me, okay?
Okay. I just, God darn it, man, what those guys are doing, and I've been telling my wife, and she doesn't seem to understand, but I mean, she doesn't agree with me, and maybe that's fine, but in my mind, most of those guys that they're rounding up, if they actually met a girl in a bar, wouldn't know what to say. I mean, would stumble over their tongues before they got the word hello out. So these are guys, most of them, in my mind anyway, are guys that hang out on their computer, and they're talking to people online, and they're talking to people that respond. And now you got somebody out there that's responding to them, and responding in a filthy way, you know, in an overly sexual way.
Well,
and,
yeah,
and
I mean, to you know, just trim it to the basics, these people start emailing one another. I don't know if they meet in chat rooms or a Craigslist or exactly where, but the decoys establish a phony age. They say, I'm 14. And then the decoys start to talk in chat in sexually suggestive ways.
And bait them.
Yes.
They're baiting them.
It is a trap. It's a trap. And
it's
I
absolutely.
Think the correct way to describe these schlubs is that they are would-be pedophiles.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
And they have impulse control issues. They have lower moral standards than you or I might have. But they have been presented with a tantalizing piece of bait.
That's
and these folks, sadly, take the bait, and then they become fodder for a primetime TV show, for a weird website called Perverted Justice, and some of them wind up in the criminal justice system as offenders. And I'm not clear. I would really like somebody to investigate the process that NBC uses. Do they get releases from these schlubs who wanted to be a predator and were stopped in the trap? Do they pay them? Do they change their names? We see their faces and you know, they're depicted on camera. But I believe these people have privacy rights, and these rights must be given up. And so if you get caught in this kind of a trap, does NBC give you $5,000 to pay your legal fees? Do they, you know, how do they do that?
Peter B., they ruin people. These people, some of these people you see are ministers with the congregations, and hey, you know what? Maybe the guy shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, and maybe that was a moment of weakness. But you know what? I mean, even the good Lord came down here for sinners, not for all the saints, and people make mistakes, and this is not, there's no coming back from a mistake like that when you put it on the air. You know
right.
what I mean? When you have a guy's face on national television.
Well, and here's part of the backstory, okay? Perverted Justice is a very small, it's a website operated by a guy named Von Erk. And he has received $70,000 for each hour of television NBC produces in collaboration with Perverted Justice. There are six new episodes planned for the first half of 2007. Two of them, hey, get this, two of them were shot in Long Beach, California, two in Flagler Beach, Florida, and two others in Murphy, Texas. And so...
So this guy's getting rich on this.
Yeah, and if you look at this article, we now know where they're going in 2007. So if you want to be an internet pedophile in Washington, D.C. or in San Francisco, it appears that NBC won't catch you.
Huh. Okay, so there's just a whole score of things that are wrong with this.
Well, this is not journalism, in my opinion. And it is, you know, Dateline has a very checkered past. They're the one, the primetime magazine show that jiggered up the crash test for, it was a GMC Suburban, if I recall correctly. And so this is, it's also interesting to see, this is a New York Times article that points out that when Dateline runs a Catch a Predator segment, they average 9.1 million viewers. When they do their usual Hollywood trash and other meaningless investigations, they get about 7 million viewers. So there's money on the line for NBC. They're benefiting from this predatory activity. They're entrapping people, and then they're sharing some of their money with this website called Perverted Justice. And one more thing, Perverted Justice has been criticized by advocates for victims of pedophilia as a website that has videotapes and transcripts of many of the internet chats that led to the entrapped encounters, okay?
Really?
And this is seen as a kind of porn for people who are voyeurs who may not actively want to pursue this themselves, but they get a charge out of watching other people operate, you know, in that milieu, an adult man trying to have sex with a teenage girl. And this feeds that kind of thinking and fantasies. And I just think that this is sick, sick, and then it is turned into cash, which is even sicker.
Which is even worse.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one. And then, like you said earlier, there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, and because that's what happens in situations like this when something, you know, something is aired, there's knee-jerk reactions, and there's laws that are going to be passed. And, you know, pretty soon you're going to get, three strikes and you're out. And
yeah.
There's take it out of the judge's hands because you got caught on national television. And,
well, and many of these people, even though they were entrapped and even though they did not get to commit a crime that they appeared to intend to commit, they're going to be tagged as sex offenders for the rest of their lives.
That's right, forever.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot for your call from Phoenix today, Chris.
Yeah, take care, bye.
Yep. All right, Barbara in Washington, D.C., you're next. Thanks for holding.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay, Barbara, because I haven't been caught on NBC Dateline.
Well, I'm calling from the belly of the beast here in the nation's capital.
I'm glad you're...
My vote does not count.
You're right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just called with a quickie regarding the slothfulness of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Food for thought is, what could Bush possibly have on them through his illegal wiretapping?
Ah, boy.
Yeah, just food for thought.
Well, it's good food for thought, and it's something that I tend to resist because it's hard for me to imagine that the Democrats would cave to that. But it's going to be very interesting in the next few months because Bush tried but failed to get the Republican-controlled Congress to legalize the NSA spying program,
mm-hmm.
and there will be a new push to do that in the Democratic-controlled House and Senate. And I'm bitterly opposed to that. And clearly, the FISA court is there if the president needs to wiretap or intercept a call from Al-Qaeda.
Exactly.
But to give him carte blanche is not only un-American and unconstitutional, but as you suggest, it leaves people like Democratic leaders vulnerable. You know, I don't imagine that Nancy Pelosi has engaged in predatory instant messages or emails that have compromised her.
No.
But you raise a point, and in the current world, as we see Republicans who will say anything and do anything to get their way, and they're oblivious to the legal consequences of breaking the law, I can't refute your point. And I wish I could. I wish I could just reject it out of hand and say, you're crazy, lady.
Well, it's a terrible thought, but it's there because I guess of what we have been going through for the past few years.
Now, Barbara, you're there in D.C. Mm-hmm. If I got you a pass to say, you know, Nancy Pelosi's swearing in, would you go and represent me?
I have a hard time getting around because I'm handicapped and basically homebound. So.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking for somebody like you who's a real American, an individual with activist thoughts, but not necessarily a member of some group that could be dismissed. And I'd love to find somebody in Washington who could represent me at the swearing in of the Democratic leadership. And I don't know whether you wear a button, carry a sign, a pink shirt in alliance with Code Pink, but I'd really like to get a clear message to them. We're glad you're in power, but we will not simply give you a pass because you're not the evil Republicans. You must deliver, and you must deliver according to the desires of the voters who put you there.
Exactly. I do as much as I can from my computer, which is where I listen to your show,
mm-hmm.
and every way that I possibly can, I help, and that may include a small donation as well here and there.
Well, speaking of that, Barbara, we have a listener, Steve, a loyal listener in Salinas. And he reminded us today that the way he sends a message to the Democrats is when he receives one of those fundraising letters,
mm-hmm.
he sends in a dollar. And he says, I've got 99 more when you vote the right way.
I like that.
Yep. All right, Barbara. Well, thank you for your call today. Great to have you listening online.
No problem.
All right.
Love the show.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Merry Christmas to you. Now to Mike in Glendale. Thanks for your call, Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter.
Hello.
As to your question, why the Democrats aren't confronting the administration over the war, over 9/11, fear. Make it simple. The administration, as Mike Rupert put it, has already crossed the Rubicon. They've got at least 3,000 deaths to their credit just here in the States on 9/11. They either made it happen or let it happen. Take your pick. They also, the Democrats also remember, I'm sure quite well, the anthrax scare that was directed at opponents of the administration.
Yeah.
And, that there's really only one place that that anthrax could have come from, and that's Fort Kedrick, Maryland. So, and the FBI has already shown itself as covering that crime. They're not. They haven't shown any interest at all in investigating it, really.
Well, Mike, I think those are reasonable explanations, but I refuse to accept them as excuses. Because if our leaders are not willing to stand up and confront the law-breaking, the lies, and the incredible sorry record of this administration, then they don't deserve our support.
I agree with you, and that's exactly what I told a friend of mine. I helped. I'm a Republican, you may remember, and I helped a friend of mine get elected here, and I gave him $1,000 to do it. And I'm sorry I did now because he's voted in lockstep with these creatures. I think it's a climate of fear, though. I mean, you know, look back on Clinton's administration, the file gate where they had over 3,000 files on former and current Republican operatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's the way it's played in Washington. It's hardball. And, you know, whether it's death threats or threats of exposing people, exposing their homosexuality or other crimes.
Well, then you know, if we take your thinking here to the logical conclusion, then a coup d'etat has already occurred. We no longer have a democracy in any real proportions. And if that's the case, then it's time for the kind of revolution that our forefathers envisioned and created a constitution for.
Well, and, you know, Peter, I have a copy of a letter from Franklin Roosevelt to Jack Morgan, J.P. Morgan's son,
mm-hmm.
in 1933, where he says, as you and I know, Jack, a financial element has controlled this country since the days of Andrew Jackson, and I'm not excluding W.W., he's referring to Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big money boys in Wall Street and more especially in the city of London, where the real center of gravity in the world is, the financial world, controls this country. And they control our politicians through the big tax-exempt foundations and Council on Foreign Relations and these aligned groups.
Mike, I got to run to a break. I thank you for your call today. Good to have you listening. Call me again, will you?
Take care.
888-5-PETER-B. There's room for a couple more callers before the end of the Free Speech Zone today. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Well, an injury accident slowing you down in Marin. It's northbound Highway 1 after H Street. This is a two-vehicle accident. One vehicle actually overturned in the right-hand lane in Marin. CHP is on scene. We're going to see some very sluggish traffic approaching the scene, so definitely best to try and avoid that if at all possible. Santa Cruz County, southbound 1 before Buena Vista Drive. We have a three-vehicle accident cleared into the center divide. And Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1, you're going to see some sluggish traffic from 17 to State Park Drive in Aptos. This slow traffic is actually due to PG&E crews doing some work on the right-hand shoulder there. This report is brought to you by Meineke Car Care Centers. What's better than free gas? Free gas and football. Receive a $20 gas card with any $200 in Meineke service and tune in on December 30th for the Meineke Car Care Bowl. See participating dealer for details. I'm Dio with Traffic, KRXA 540.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes away from the hour. And I'm glad you're listening. We picked up a lot of new listeners across the country who tune us in on the The stream at NovaMRadio.com, where we get to serve as the opening act for the Mike Malloy Show. I'm happy to do that. Up next, Ron in Lake Worth, Florida. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Pierre. You were actually my very first call to talk radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got you over the hump or whatever it takes to do that. And
I'm really shy about it.
You're in good company. There's a great lady named Alice from Eureka who is in her early 90s. And she told me that about 5 years ago, I was the first talk show host she called. And once she broke through, I've heard her on great radio shows all over the place.
I have heard her all over the place also.
Yeah.
My topic here is Elsie Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was in line to, he's my representative.
Right. And he was a former federal judge who was removed from the bench, right?
Who screwed up. Everybody knows about that.
Uh-huh.
But we here, I mean, this talk about gerrymandering. My district goes from West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale, which is about, 40 miles. And it's as wide as I-95
mm-hmm.
in many places to put that district together. We voted for this guy. We knew what he was. We knew what had happened. We voted for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're being told he's up. He's up, according to seniority, he's up for a committee chairmanship.
Well, he was up, but he didn't get it, the Intelligence Committee chair post.
Right, right.
And it was given to Sylvester Reyes of Texas, a Vietnam vet who appears to know very little about the situation in the Middle East and has already tipped his hand that he thinks a surge in troops might be a good idea.
Well, here's my problem. Here's my problem. We knew when we voted for this guy, and I vote for him, we knew about his past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And his past was before he ever went to the House.
That's right.
But we voted for him. We continue voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm being told by Nancy Pelosi, you voted for somebody, well, that's okay, but he's not acceptable to us.
Well, you know what? I support Pelosi on this because I believe that the ethical trail, that the baggage that Alcee Hastings carries is unacceptable for somebody to be promoted to a chairmanship and become a target for further investigations or just attacks. And
I just feel like somebody is telling me that I voted for the wrong person. If we had only voted for somebody else.
All right, then let's wait. Let's take it, Ron, let's take it out of your district and your self-interest. There's a corrupt guy in Louisiana named William Jefferson. He's the guy who has $90,000 in FBI-marked bills in his freezer, okay? And he was just reelected by the people in his district in Louisiana. And like Hastings, Pelosi has removed him from his key committee assignment, where it was either Ways and Means or Appropriations, where he was able to earmark and dole out money. I think that's a good decision on Pelosi's part. Where I do ding her on ethics is that she wanted to promote Jack Murtha to the number two post of majority leader, and his ethical problems, like Hastings and Jefferson, I think, dictate that he should not have been promoted, and the caucus had the wisdom to overrule their speaker.
Right. My thing is that we here have voted for this guy.
And you can do
because
you can have,
he carries our message.
That's fine. You can have a representative who you choose to overlook his ethical problems in the past. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept your acceptance of his history and his problems. So I'm sorry we're not going to agree, Ron, but I really thank you for the call. I want to jump to another one before we run out of time. And it's line 5, Jason in Phoenix. Welcome.
Hey, Peter. You know, it doesn't surprise me the allegiance that Vice President Cheney has, but it just galls me at where his interest and him blatantly, like, throwing the oath he gave to uphold the Constitution, because he's going to be a witness in the Scooter Libby trial.
Right.
And no good lawyer worth his cents would call somebody to be a witness unless they had a pretty good idea of what they were going to say in the first place.
Right.
Now, the defense is calling him. So that tells me that Vice President Cheney is going to represent the opposing view of the own, of the Justice Department, of the people, of the government that he's the vice president of. It's just ridiculous. And it doesn't surprise me at all, but it's truly, truly horrible and wrong. There's
well,
no other way to look.
I agree with you, and there's only one resolution. Dick Cheney should resign as vice president before he testifies in the Scooter Libby trial.
Yes. If he wants to do that, if he wants to represent, because, I mean, I can understand personal allegiance, how twisted it might be, but if he's going to, he can't play both sides of the street.
Well, and of course, we do that. Bush will nominate Henry Kissinger to replace him.
Yep, we're in trouble either way, as long as the dim-witted leader is on top.
Jason, thanks for your call. You get the final word today.
Thank you.
All right. Good to have you listening. Thanks for all your calls here to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to do this again tomorrow because, well, we've committed to do that, and we honor our commitments. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner. And if you have a suggestion for a guest or topic, email matt@peterbcollins.com. And thanks for listening to this episode. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations.
Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares?
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush agrees to expand the military.
I'm inclined to believe that we do need to increase our troops, the Army and the Marines.
Interviewed by the Washington Post today, Mr. Bush said he's asked Defense Secretary Robert Gates to come up with a plan. Background from CBS News correspondent David Martin.
When President Bush met with defense leaders last week at the Pentagon, he got an earful from the Joint Chiefs of Staff about how badly the military is feeling the strain of fighting wars in Iraq and Afghanistan with no end in sight. Today, he told the Washington Post he plans to increase the nation's ground forces.
As for strategy in Iraq, no decisions yet, but the president makes clear he's putting the onus on the leadership in Baghdad.
I want the American people to know that, and the Iraqi people to know that, we expect the Iraqi people to continue making hard choices and doing hard work necessary to succeed, and our job is to help them do so.
The White House disputes a Post report that Mr. Bush and the Joint Chiefs of Staff are at odds over putting additional troops in Iraq. The military leaders are said to oppose the idea because their forces are already stretched thin. Federal drug regulators are proposing new, stronger warning labels for non-prescription painkillers because, while safe when used as directed, they can be dangerous. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports.
Every year, more than 200 million Americans, two in every three, reach for their pain medications, ibuprofen, aspirin, acetaminophen. And about 700 of them every day end up in hospitals, suffering from side effects, particularly from overdosing, including bleeding, liver, and kidney ailments. Now the Food and Drug Administration says drug makers must do more to warn users of the potential risks of over-the-counter painkillers.
Another day has passed with no sign of two climbers missing on Mount Hood, Oregon, for more than a week now. CBS News correspondent Jerry Bowen says the searchers lost more hope when they saw pictures from a disposable camera found on the body of Kelly James.
Those pictures show that he and the other two missing climbers were well-equipped, but lightly equipped to withstand the kind of blizzard that hit them atop Mount Hood after they had summited. That's very concerning to searchers because it indicates that these men had less of a chance at surviving the kind of cold that they encountered.
The danger of hypothermia is extreme, but CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says there's still a slim possibility they're okay.
With every passing day,